As we begin, though, this meeting on the family, I think one thing that moms would like more than anything would be that everybody in the family is in unity. And the devil is like the old commander and warrior who said the way that you win is you divide and you conquer. And that's the way the devil is trying to work in our homes. And I want to read a verse on Ephesians chapter 4 on the subject of forgiveness as it relates to our families. It's a very important word as we begin this family conference. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing as we look into the Word this week, and we pray, Lord, for your leadership, each service, that one at a time, you direct it so that we'd be where you want us to be at the end of this meeting. We pray, Lord, for today to be a special day for mothers, and we also understand, Lord, the importance of the family every day. And we pray, Lord, that as we look at this subject this morning, that it'll be a help to all of our families and even a blessing to some mothers here as well. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. If we were to take a survey among Americans as to the most beautiful word in the English language, they would probably say it's the word love. And if that would be the most beautiful word in the English language, the word that I'm preaching on is probably the most needed word, and that would be the word forgiveness. Because what comes between people having love for each other in our families like we should have is a willingness to forgive each other in our families. When my children were little, they would write me notes, and they would write their mother notes, and usually on Mother's Day, they would write, "Mommy, I love you," and they would misspell the word love. Instead of spelling it L-O-V-E, they would spell it L-U-V. Now, if they were taking sermon notes and a message I might be preaching about forgiveness, when I used the word offenses, they would misspell the word offense instead of spelling it properly, O-F-F-E-N-S-E, or however you spell it. They would spell it by making it two words, the first word being A, and then the second word being F-E-N-C-E, offense. And how appropriate that would be, because when an offense comes, a fence goes up between two people that should have L-U-V. Now, as we look at this subject today, it is very important for our families that we learn to forgive each other. And without it, we're going to be divided. The Bible says it's impossible, but that offenses will come. And part of having longevity in good family relations is we have to have an ability to forgive each other biblically. Now, I think sometimes people misunderstand what the word forgiveness is and what it really means. And so I want to look at forgiveness from this perspective. Everything that we learn about forgiveness, we learn by observing how God gave us. It says, "Forgive one another how, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So for me to understand how to forgive you, for a husband to understand how to forgive a wife, a child to forgive a parent, or a parent to forgive a child, we have to understand God's love and God's forgiveness for us in order for us to understand how we forgive each other. So everything we learn about forgiveness, we learn by looking at how God forgave us. Now we're going to look at four things this morning and briefly in them. Now, the first thing we're going to look at is the need for forgiveness, and that is as we look at why God needs to forgive us. We understand why we need to forgive each other. The Bible says that our forgiveness for each other is to be patterned after God's forgiveness for us. So in order for me to understand why I need to forgive you, you need to forgive me, or a member in the family needs to forgive another family member, we need to understand first why we need to be forgiven by God. Here it is. Sin separates. Sin separates. Adam and Eve had daily fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. And when they sinned, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So where they had daily fellowship with God, their sin separated them from God. And Jesus came to earth to reconcile man back to God so that they could restore the relationship that was lost when sin came. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, and death means separation. Now, when somebody dies physically, their soul is separated from the body. Death then means separation. Death of a marriage is two people that are married are no longer married. Death of a friendship, two people that are friends are no longer friends. Death of a business partnership, two people that work together no longer work together. Death means separation. Now, if you've never been saved, you need to understand why you need to be forgiven. It's because your sins and my sins until I was saved separate you from God. And the only way that you'll ever be able to be in heaven with God in the end is if you give forgiveness for your sins. And if there's anybody here that has never been saved, I can't think of anything that would be more exciting for a parent than to have a child accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior on Mother's Day. But when we relate ourselves to this as family members, when we have a man and a wife get offended with each other, a child with a parent, parent with a child, sin separates them from each other. And where they used to have a good relationship, there's now a wall. I think of little children, when they're growing up, mom and dad are heroes. Mom and dad are wonderful. But then something happens along life where then they get this wall up sometimes with the mom or with a dad. And it's a tragedy when that happens. And usually it's because something was said or something was done. Maybe even the child did something. Instead of getting it right, they put up a wall instead of admitting they did wrong. But what happens is whenever there is an offense, a fence goes up between two people that should have LUV. And why we need to forgive each other is so that we can restore relationships. Now, the Bible teaches it is impossible that offenses will come, but forgiveness is the way that we put oil in the machinery of the family and we fix things and we bring each other back to each other again. Now, the need for forgiveness is our sins separate us, our offenses separate us from each other. And I don't believe that there'd be one mother here today who would not want their children to be right with them. And I will say there probably is not one mother here today that would not want their children to be right with each other. And it's a sad thing when there's division in the home with anybody in any relationship in the home. Because the home is supposed to be a beautiful picture of love all the way around. And I dare say that there probably are siblings that are in their 50s and in their 60s that are not getting along with other siblings in their 50s and in their 60s. And it's a shame because it doesn't have to be that way. Now, the order for families to be together, there has to be forgiveness. Forgiveness brings each other back together again. Now, the second thing, as we look at this subject that is so needed in our families, is a reminder, the command to forgive. God said, do it. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And this is not an option, this is a command. Now, somebody says, well, I'm just never going to forgive that brother of mine. I'm never going to forgive my father, or I'm never going to forgive. I do want you to understand that technically you can't forgive until somebody asks for forgiveness. But there needs to be the spirit and the desire to reconcile with that brother, with that sister, with that mother, with that child, and with that parent, that father. And the desire is reconciliation. That's what God wants. Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, and Luke 17 talks about forgiveness, and it's so important that we understand some reasons that we have a hard time forgiving so that we can recognize our failures and then we can fix it. Now, in Luke chapter 17, it starts off with the truth that I just alluded to. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe to him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now it says it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room have a mother? Would you raise your hand? All right. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. You can't have a relationship even with a mother without there being offenses. How many of you in this room are married? Would you raise your hand? It's impossible, but that offenses will come in a marriage. And Jesus said it's impossible. Now, how many of you have adult brothers and they're just not as smart as you are? Amen? Now, it is impossible for you to have even an adult sibling without offenses coming. And whether it be a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a brother, a brother, a brother, and sister, a sister, and a sister, it is impossible to have any kind of relationship anywhere without offenses coming at one time or another. Now, I remember not long ago, my son had just gotten married a year ago, and today is his 1-year anniversary. He had said, my wife and I have never had an argument. And you know what? Now on his 1-year anniversary, he cannot say that. And as much as he loves her and as much as she loves him, it is impossible to have relationships without there being offenses. And some of you right now can think about that wall that is up between you and your brother, or that wall that is between you and another family member. And I'll guarantee you again, there's not a mother here that wouldn't just love to see everybody united and back together again. And guess what? It can happen. It can happen. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And now when it says only, you know what that means? Only. Now somebody says, well, the reason that I'm not right with that family member is because that member did this. And the reason I'm not right with that family member is because that family member did that. And the Bible said that's all good and well, but the actual bottom line of it all is that the only reason that there's any contention is somebody's got pride, and it may be you. Now let's take a look at what the Word of God says here about offenses. And God says it is command. God says do it. And sometimes we have a hard time forgiving each other. And there are reasons it's sometimes difficult. Now, first, sometimes people have a hard time forgiving because they don't really feel like the other one is really sincere. I remember talking to a lady. She had a daughter who's a very good friend of our family's, and it ended up that they were going to get divorced, she and her new husband. And so I talked with them, and then she said, well, I'm ready to reconcile. And he said, well, I'm ready to reconcile. And then went to the pastor and began to get counsel. And I never will forget, the mother is also a good friend of ours, said to her, if you go back to him, I will never forgive you. Don't you ever go back to that man. Now, granted, he had done some things that were not what they should be, but he was repentant and he was asking for counsel. And he was going to talk about how he could fix this. And again, there's not a relationship that can't get fixed. So I went to the mother and I said, I hear that you're encouraging him not to get this fixed. She said, I'll never tell her to go back to that man. I said, look, you're a Christian woman. Yes, I am. I said, you ought to be encouraging them to get right with each other. She said, I'll never encourage her to go back to him. And I said, why? And she came up with all these excuses for why she never encouraged it. And it was like God knew exactly what she'd say and answered and addressed them in Luke chapter 17. Now, the first thing she said was, I don't believe that he's really sorry. I don't believe that he's really sorry. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever had somebody do you wrong in your family and they kind of say they're sorry, but you don't really feel like they mean it? Anybody ever go through that? Sure we do. But Jesus says, forgive anyway. Now notice what it says in verse 3. Take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, 7 times turning again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now imagine you're standing next to somebody and they make a fist and they reach out and they pop you in the nose. They go, boom. You say, why'd you do that? And he says, I don't know. This arm's got a twitch. Sorry about that. Okay, but don't do it again. And a minute later, he makes a fist. He looks at you and he goes, and he pops you in the nose. You say, what are you doing? He says, I don't know. This arm's got a twitch. Sorry about that. Okay, but don't do it again. And a minute later, he reaches over and he looks at you and he goes, boom. Sorry about that. And boom. Sorry about that. And he does it 7 times and he laughs 7 times when he says, sorry about that. Now, question, is he really sorry? Now, we would say probably not. But what I want you to notice, it's said in Scripture, Jesus said, if he trespass 7 times in a day, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, here's what he's saying. If he just says, I repent, even if he's not really sorry, you still forgive him. Now, that doesn't sound, first of all, very fair. Now, there are reasons that God would say, you can work out your family problems. You can work these out if you just swallow your pride and you just forgive. Even if they say, I'm sorry, you don't think they're really sorry. You forgive them anyway. There are reasons. Now, one reason is, how many of you have ever been misunderstood by somebody else? Okay, has your wife ever misunderstood you? Your husband misunderstood you? Your parents misunderstood you? When I was a boy, I remember getting some money and I saved it up and saved it up until I could buy an Atari game set for my family. Now, Atari was the PlayStation 4 of 1980. And so we got this little Pong thing that went bing, bong, 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 and it was a little monotonous. But when I got Atari, it was like, wah, for my family. So I bought this, and it had all kinds of games. And I had a little younger brother who was playing Atari, and my mother that day said, Tim, get up and do the dishes. And so I got up and I said, no, Tim, you play Atari. I'm going to go do the dishes for you. Because I was just happy that my younger brother was happy that his older brother was so cool that he bought Atari. So anyway, as I was doing the dishes, my mom got upset with me. She said, you stop. And I told him to get in here and you think you're better than all the other kids and more spiritual than everybody. Now, all I was trying to do was be nice, but my mother misunderstood me. Now, a child can be misunderstood. A dad, a wife, a husband, a brother, a sister can be totally misunderstood. And so God says, forgive them. Think the best of the other person, not the worst of the other person. Love thinketh no evil. But another reason that God says forgive them, even if they don't seem sincere, is because if something needs to be done to that one who's done you wrong, let God take care of it, because God can do more than you could ever do to do vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. Now notice what it says in verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. How many of you have ever heard of the mafia before? All right, the mafia used to execute somebody by giving them cement boots. They would take a wet bucket of cement, put their feet in that wet bucket, and then it would dry. And they would take that wet bucket of cement, just a bucket of cement, and they'd go to a bridge and they'd throw it over the bridge down and into the water. Now, don't do this, you'll go to prison for it. The problem was there was a human being that's feet were dried and caught inside that cement. So when the cement went down to the bottom, the man went down to the bottom and he would drown. Execution, mafia style. Now, God is saying, if somebody does you wrong, if they say, I repent, forgive them. If they say it 10 times, forgive them. In another passage, if they do it 70 times 7, forgive them. And he's saying, if they ever even give an indication that they didn't intend to hurt you, they're not trying to steal from you, they're not trying to do you wrong, forgive them and believe them. And then, if they are doing you wrong, let God take care of it. And let God take care of it. And he said it would be better for them to be executed mafia style, have a millstone hung around their neck and cast into the bottom of the sea, than to go through what God's going to put them through if they don't do you right. Now, another reason that God says forgive them, even if you don't believe that what they're doing is sincere, is you don't need to ruin your life being bitter over what your brother did, or what your sister did, or what your parent did. And God's desire is that you forgive, even if you don't believe that they are sincere. And it's not only his desire, it's God's command. Now, the first thing she said was, well, I don't believe he's sincere. And I addressed that from this passage of scripture. And then she said to me, well, I'm not good enough Christian to forgive that person after they keep doing this to my daughter. All right, now it's like God knew exactly what she was going to say and addressed it here in Luke 17. Please look at verse 5. After he had just told them, if they sin 7 times in a day, forgive them. Notice what the disciples said in verse 5. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, you know what they're saying? We're not good enough Christians to forgive somebody after they keep hurting us and keep hurting us and keep hurting us and keep hurting us. Now, many people say, well, you might be able to forgive. You're a preacher, but I'm just a normal person. I remember this mother as she said to me that very thing. You might be able to forgive because you're a preacher. Well, I'm not good enough Christian to forgive. And I showed her this where the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith, in verse 6, as a grain of a mustard seed, ye might say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted by the sea, and it should obey you. Now, most of the time, we read that and we say, boy, if you have that much faith, you can move a tree. That much faith, you can move a mountain. That much faith, you could be healed from your sickness. Now, the context is not talking about moving a mountain and moving a tree. It's talking about forgiving people that are hard to forgive. And here's what Jesus is saying. You don't have enough faith to forgive? Come on. If you had this much faith, you could move a tree. If you had faith of a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And he's saying, look, you're a Christian. You've got enough faith to forgive. If you had that much, you could move a mountain. Certainly you can forgive. And what he's saying is, listen, this isn't an issue of can I, it's an issue of will I. And here's what God's commanded, forgive. Now back to Mother's Day, I just want to say, I do think it's very relevant because as we're beginning this family conference, one of the things very necessary if we're going to have good, strong families is we've got to be willing to forgive and know how to forgive. But also on Mother's Day, I'll guarantee you there's not a mom here that doesn't know if a son's in battle with another son, if a daughter's in battle with another daughter, if there's a child that's estranged from a parent here, I'm sure there's not a parent there that doesn't want this child reconciled to that parent. And there's no reason when forgiveness is available for there to be walls up between people that should have LUV. Now, the command to forgive, God says do it, and reasons we have a hard time, I don't believe they're sincere. Another, I just don't think I can. But God says that we can. Now, number one, the need to forgive. Number two, the command to forgive. Number three, I want you to notice the pattern for forgiveness. All right, let's look back at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So now, everything we learn about forgiving each other in the family really is tied to how God forgave us, and anyway, forgiven anybody as far as that goes. But since it's Mother's Day, particular to the family, since it's a family conference, we have to look at how God forgives so we know how to forgive each other. Now, how does God forgive us? Does God sit up in heaven just feeling good about us? No, it's deeper than that. How does God forgive us? Does God say, I forgive you, but I won't send you to hell, but I sure don't want you in heaven with me? Does God forgive us by saying, I won't send you to hell, but I don't want anything to do with you? No, when God forgives, he reconciles. Now, somebody says, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. And somebody says, well, you need to forgive and forget. All right, question. Can I forget some things? There are some things I can't forget. Let's say you're standing next to somebody and they pop you in the nose 7 times. And each time your nose gets a little more swollen. Each time your nose hurts a little bit more. And then somebody walks up to you and they see you all swollen and all beat up and bruised and they say, what happened to you? You can't say, I don't remember. Unless they hit you so hard you don't remember. But usually you can remember. Now, to the day I die, I cannot forget that my father committed suicide. But I can forgive. Until the day you die, you might not be able to forget what that sibling did, but you can forgive what that sibling did. Now, what is forgiveness? It's modeled after God. Somebody says, forgiving is forgetting. Question, can God forget anything? Can he? Technically, no. And I'll explain what he can do and what he does do. To forget is a casual slip of the mind. Now, does God's mind ever slip? All right, now, here's what you do to forget. All you got to do to forget is to be a man. My wife will say, Mike, well, you go to the store and get 2 things. Would you get eggs and milk? So I'm driving to the store and I'm thinking, eggs and milk. Eggs, eggs, and milk. Eggs and milk. Make up a song. I'm going to remember it this time. And on the way, I see a fancy sports car. I go, ooh, check it out. Look at that. Boy, I'd love to have that. Whoa. And then I get back to driving and I think, now what was that I was supposed to get? Eggs and what? And I call up my wife and say, honey, now what was that I was supposed to get? Eggs and what? She says, eggs and milk. Eggs and milk. Can't remember 2 things? Don't you love me? No, she's really not like that. But the fact is, there are men that forget, and what do you have to do to forget? All you have to do is be a man, and you're going to forget. Amen, men? It's not we don't love our wives, it's we're a man, and we forget. But here's what forgetting is. It's a casual slip of the mind. Does God's mind ever slip? No. God's mind never slips. What does God do? He doesn't forget. Here's what he does. He remembers no more. He remembers no more. Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Do you hear that? Will not remember thy sins. Says the same thing in Jeremiah 31:34. I will forgive their iniquity. How? And I will remember their sins no more. Now, what is remembering no more? Here's what it is, folks. And here's how you can fix your relationships if there's any problem in your family. You address it. And if they say, I'm sorry. And even if they just say, I'm sorry if I came across that way, I didn't mean it. Believe them. And then decide, okay, I'm not going to remember this again. And that means, not that I will forget that you stole $6,000 from me. It's I'm not going to bring it up in a negative way anymore. I'm not going to let this be between us. It's a promise to say, I'm never going to bring it up in a negative way to you, to me, or to anybody else, and I'm not going to let this come between us. I went into a post office to deliver some mail, and the lady behind the counter looked at me and she says, "Oh, you're an evangelist, huh?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, I guess I can trust you." And she started to cry. So then, what are you supposed to do as a man when a woman over there is crying and you have no idea why she's crying? So I said, "Ma'am, is everything okay?" And she's crying all the more. I says, "Ma'am, what's the problem today?" She goes, "My husband." And I added a 2 + 2 together and it spelled adultery in my mind. So I said, "Has your husband cheated on you?" She said, "Yes." And very quickly I said, "Ma'am, just because your husband was unfaithful doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It may be in a moment of weakness the devil got him. Now, has he asked for your forgiveness?" "Yes." "Has he said he's turned from that woman to you and will be faithful?" "Yes." "But how do I know I can trust him?" And you can understand why a woman would be concerned. So I said, "Ma'am, you don't know me, but I believe I could help you. Would you be willing to meet with me at the church where I'm preaching tomorrow, and I can give you some things that'll help you work this out?" She agreed. So I explained to her what forgiveness is you cannot always forget, but you can choose to remember no more. In other words, I'm not going to bring it up in a negative way, and we're going to move on. I said, "You bring it up, don't you?" I said, "Do you bring it up to yourself and sit there hating him?" "Yes." "Do you talk about him to other people in a negative way?" "Yes." I said, "Do you keep reminding him of his failure?" "Yes." I said, "Well, you'll never get beyond this until you promise that you're not going to sit there hating him for it. You've forgiven him. He needs to know that. That you're not going to be talking badly about him to everybody else. He needs to know that. And that you're not going to keep bringing it up to him. He needs to know that. And that you're going to move on." She went home. She reconciled with her husband. I got a letter from him a month later. They were holding hands. And they said, "We have a problem once in a while, but we always work it out with biblical forgiveness. And I believe that there's not a relationship that cannot get fixed." Now, if you would forgive, that doesn't mean you can forget, but it means that you won't let it come between you anymore, and you have something to do with this. You're not going to bring it up in a negative way. Now, the need for forgiveness is sin separates. Again, if you've never been saved, you need to understand the reason that you need to be saved is that your sin is separating you from God. And as Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they never had fellowship with God until they were reconciled through forgiveness. You will never get to heaven until you get forgiveness of your sins. That's why you need to be forgiven. But then for each other, the need for forgiveness is it separates brothers and sisters, moms and dads, children, husbands and wives, and they need to be brought back together. The command to forgive, God says, do it. The pattern for forgiveness is we can't forget, but we can choose to not bring it up and let it be between us anymore. And then in closing, I want us to look at the purpose for forgiveness. All right, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, we'll see the purpose for forgiveness in the way that God reached out to us and why God forgives us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. He sent Jesus to die on the cross, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But how does it work? Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled to God. All right, Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The story goes of an elderly man who was on his deathbed. And he had two sons who were siblings, and they had come to odds with each other, and they wouldn't even talk to each other. Sound familiar? Sound modern day, perhaps? Sound like something in your family? But two brothers wouldn't even talk to each other. So the man's dying wish was that these brothers would get back together, which would be the wish of any mother or any father. So on his deathbed, one brother was on this side, one was on that side. And in his dying moments, he reached over, took the hands of one of his son, put it on his chest, reached over, took the hand of the other son, put it on his brother's hand, and then he put both his hands over their hands. And he just held them. And he didn't let go until he took his last breath. They say it's a true story. and he passed away. At that, that's all it took. The two brothers slowly lifted their eyes when they realized their father had died. They made eye contact. That's all it took. Understanding what he wanted, they went to the end of the bed and they embraced each other. They asked forgiveness and they got reconciled in their relationship. And it took a dying dad to bring these two distant brothers back together again. Well, there's the illustration of reconciliation. When Jesus was on the cross, look at me now. When he was on the cross, he reached up and he took the hand of God the Father, and he reached down and took our sinful hand, and through the cross, he brought us back together again. That's reconciliation. And if you've never been saved, that's why you need Jesus. He is the only one who can reconcile you back to God. Now, you've got a physical birth, and you celebrate your mother today. She's the one that gave you that physical birth, but you have to have a spiritual birth too, or you cannot get into heaven and you'll never be reconciled to God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But the picture is, the purpose of forgiveness is to reconcile. Now, the reconciliation is to be man with man. It says, if you go to the altar and you find that there's an ought between you and your brother, go and be reconciled with your brother first and then come to me. God is saying, in order for you to be right with me this way, you've got to be right with your brother this way. So before you can say I'm right with God, you better ask yourself, am I right with my siblings? Am I right with my family? Am I right at home? And Jesus himself, if you come to the altar and you want to make things right with me, you want to pray to me, and you realize that you have ought against your brother, the main application would be your spiritual brother, your brother in Christ, but definitely your brother at home. Don't even pray to me until you make every effort you can to make things right at home. And there could be people here with just this wound that's been festering and festering and festering for years. And that can be dealt with and that can be fixed. And that's what God would want. And what a beautiful time to consider that, Mother's Day. Forgive. Make the relationship right. But you cannot be right with God this way if you've not made every effort to be right with people in your family and others around you this way. But also, it's a matter of being reconciled to God, but also just being reconciled to each other. Now, the purpose is not, I can forgive, but I don't want anything to do with you. I can forgive, but don't even come around my house again. I forgave him, but I don't want to be at the same family party. I forgave him, but I'm not going at Christmas time if they're going at Christmas time. That's not forgiving. That's a lie. That's not forgiving. Forgiving is when you seek to reconcile and build a better relationship than you had even before the problem came. How do we know? Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So the idea is to win the brother, win the relationship back, win that family member back. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, get it. Thou hast gained thy brother. What God wants is that we get things right with each other, that we're close as family especially, and that we build better relationships than we had before the problems ever came. People say, after adultery, we can never have a good marriage. Yes, you can. You can have a better one than you had before adultery. After my brother did this in the family and it hurt the family this way, that way, we can never have a relationship. Yes, you can. And God wants you to have a better relationship than you had before your brother ever did that stupid wrong thing. And forgiveness and saying that you can never have a relationship after all the bad that was done is like saying, well, I guess I can never have a relationship with God after all the bad things I've done. Well, we know that's a lie, because God says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and if he can have a relationship with us after all we've done, we can have a relationship with anybody in our family after what they've done. Now, I'll close with this. My mother, as we were growing up, we had a garden because we were kind of poor without a dad. And so mom really grew a lot of our food and canned a lot of our food and stuff. And so, you know, like hand-me-downs, I would get hand-me-downs. And the way it would start in the train was it'd start with my brother Dan. He'd get the cool clothes, you know, that were in style in 1970. And then he would give them to my brother. And then I would get them from my brother. And so by the time it was 1980, they were already 10 years old. But the problem was I got them from my brother, and he got them from my brother, who is older than him, and then he got them from my sister. And so we really look weird wearing dresses. But anyway, my mom was kind of poor, and so she did have to have enough to help things. So we had a big garden. It seemed to me like it was about a 5-acre garden, but I think it was like 5 feet by 5 feet. But it seemed huge to me. Now, at the beginning of the summer, mom would say, or the spring, she'd say, "Good news, time to go do the garden." And we'd all be going, "Oh, oh, oh." And mom would say, "Don't worry, I'll get out there and I'll help you." So she'd come out and she'd help us. And she'd start by saying, "Okay, get the cultivator." We didn't get the gasoline-powered cultivator. We'd get the kid-powered cultivator. You know, the one that had the hooks, that had a wheel, and you just kind of push it and try to get along. Well, our bodies were too small to push it. I was a little kid, and I couldn't do it. So my mom helped me. She said, "I'll help you." And she got behind me with a whip, and she went, and I'd go, "Thanks, Mom." And she'd hit me again, "Thanks, Mom." And eventually, we'd get through it. Now, after we would get through cultivating it, my mom still wasn't happy. Then she said, "Now, get a hoe and break up all the clods." So we'd break up all the dirt clods till there were no more dirt clods. And then my mom still wasn't happy. Then she'd say, "Now, get a rake and rake up all the weeds." And we'd rake up all the weeds, have this huge pile. We'd throw it over the fence into the neighbor's yard. And mom still wasn't happy. Then she'd say, "Cultivate it again." So we cultivated it again. "Thanks, Mom." And we get through it, and then she'd say, "Hoe it again." We'd hoe it again. Rake it again, until there was nothing but 4 inches of this soft black dirt, and it would just come through our fingers, not a weed. Now we got rid of all the dirt clods. Now we got rid of all the weeds, and now it was nothing but 4 inches of soft black clay that you can really grow something in. But my mom still wasn't happy. You know what she wanted then? She wanted us to furrow some little trenches, put some good seed in, cover it up, and keep the weeds out, water it, and see some good seed grow. And she was never happy with just getting the weeds out. She wanted to see good seeds grow and good fruit planted and good crops grow. And when we say, "Well, I forgave him, I was the big man, but I don't want anything to do with him," that's not what God wants. He wants you to have a better relationship with that family member than you ever had before the problem ever came. So what I wanted to talk about this morning, and what needs to be addressed and could be a great start, is forgiveness. And if we would start by recognizing there are walls that need to be taken down, there's forgiveness that needs to be given, there are reasons relationships aren't good, and the number one reason is pride. The second one is forgiveness is not being done.